This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Thanks to Dan McDonald, great coach at Louisville. We're going to have another terrific baseball team. Looking forward to baseball season, softball getting cranked up, spring right around the corner, and we had hoops last night. But we've also got questions, don't we, Wes, for even the teams that we feel good about right now in the ACC.
I mean, think about it. You got seven ACC teams that are either in the tournament or on the fringe, right? I mean, let's be honest. We've got Virginia, Florida State, Virginia Tech, Clemson, and Louisville that we feel like are in. Carolina and Syracuse. I'll throw Georgia Tech in there on the fringe as bubble. But as the season winds down, each team has something to be concerned about, something they might want to polish. And it's not just the, oh, by the way, I got to win more games. It's like, hey, what are we going to do when we get into the tournament, be it in Greensboro or be it in the state of Indiana somewhere? We've got to sort it out. And here's kind of one for each one, Pack. I'm going to run these by you. And let's start with the Cavaliers since they're atop the standings. Might not be atop of accounting, but they're atop of the standings. And for Virginia, struggle against other elite teams. The differential against Gonzaga, Virginia Tech, and Florida State is 19 points a game, Mark.
Yeah, 1-3 against ranked teams. And you know how this works. You get in the NCAA tournament. If you expect to make a run, you will play against really good teams. I think Virginia is one of them. But when they have seen someone of note, it has not been necessarily kind so far in 21-22, right. I thought 2021. And I thought that Jay Billis yesterday kind of laid it out there perfectly, where he said, "I don't know if this is a national championship caliber team, but it's a good team. It's one that can win some games." And listen, you got Tony Bennett, great coach. You got championship DNA in Charlottesville. All you want's a chance. They're going to get their chance, but there have been moments that when it's gone south, it's gotten ugly in a hurry. Gonzaga was ugly. Florida State over the weekend was ugly. On Monday was ugly. The last 10 minutes of the game at Virginia Tech, which was a big showdown game where they got outscored 21-4, was ugly. So 1-3 against ranked teams is a bit of a concern. But the good news is, like I said, great coach, great staff, team knows how to win championships. What they do is win. So Virginia just needs to tighten up a little bit coming down the stretch. But that will be something we'll have to address as we get into March, whether it be the ACC tournament or the NCAA tournament.
All right. Now, Florida State, on and off and on and off. Obviously, we've talked about their pauses and the returns and things like that. The Noles have played three road games this year. They're 1-2, Mark.
That's a pretty good gig. Yeah, it's a pretty good gig if you can get to mid to late February, been on the road only three times. The problem is when they've been on the road, haven't exactly looked that great. Double-digit loss to Clemson, which kind of led the thing at the end of the 2020 year. Georgia Tech got them pretty good. So they'll have to figure that part of it out moving forward. We know how great they are at home, right? 24 straight against ACC teams at the Tucker Center. Again, unfortunately, Virginia Tech game's not happening this weekend, which stinks. They still have BC left, assuming BC is going to be able to play. Who knows? Again, I don't like to even look forward other than tomorrow. But Florida State's going to have to take it on the road like they did when they went to Louisville, right? That was a sign of, okay, that's kind of the standard of what we expect when you take it on the road.
Yeah. Speaking of the Hokies, you start looking there, and Virginia Tech's four losses have all come to unranked opponents. Remember, it started in the ACC Big Ten Challenge with Penn State.
Right.
Well, the other three behind it, all unranked teams, Pack. Is this a group whose style lends itself to one of those day one, day two deals in the tournament?
I sure hope not. I hope that they're ready to go. But there again, nobody's perfect unless you're talking about Baylor and Gonzaga this year. But when they play hard and they play well, you just get a sense that they don't mind playing anybody, right? That's, to me, that's the good news. The grit and toughness of this team is a good thing. The consistency, I think, though, is something that you're looking to try to establish. Right now, they just don't play. I mean, it's kind of been out of sight, out of mind for the Hokies here for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and the other part, too, as we transition here to Clemson, is that now we're going to get into teams where it might be something more statistical than it is anything else. Clemson locks you down on defense, but they have to because they're 14th in field goal percentage and last in points per game in the ACC. So the defense better be ironclad because the offense isn't.
Right. I mean, when we were going through teams that the committee put in front of Florida State last hour, we kind of crossed a team like Tennessee with Rick Barnes, ironically. Kind of reminded me of the same kind of team. You know, play really, really terrific defense. And then when they make shots, they'll be tough out. But how consistent can Clemson be making shots? When they do, they will make a run. When they don't, hey, everything becomes hard. But again, another COVID pause for the Tigers. We saw how they did not handle that very well the first go around. Hopefully, it'll be better in round two.
Let's move to Louisville here, because when the Cards return to play, this will be something that needs to improve. If they want to have a tournament trip that lasts more than 40 minutes, then they need to get a little tune up on the perimeter.
Yep.
They are 13th in the ACC in three-point field goal percentage at under 32%.
Luke Hancock, where did you go? We need Luke Hancock out there from bombing from three, right? Talk to Luke later on in the show. Malik Williams in this lineup, at what point does that happen, Wes? That, to me,
that's a great question.
That, to me, is the million-dollar question for Louisville. If and when Malik Williams makes his return. And really, when the Cards, I mean, they haven't played since February the 1st. It's been a while. Missed that game last night. It's looking forward to Syracuse.
Yeah, Louisville. Well, that's one of those things, Pac. Now we're starting to get to, hey, wait a second, how's your calendar going to work?
Right.
You know, I mean, what's the back end going to look like to get you ready for the postseason? North Carolina, knock on wood, has not had any major issues. Most of their schedule, with the exception of the Miami game, has been pretty solid. What's not happened for the Tar Heels, though? Cutting down on turnovers. 289 after last night. Now, granted, Carolina has played more games. That's the other thing. Remember, they're now up to 20 ball games after last night. But, you know, 289 turnovers, that's a concern.
It should be. Roy Williams joined us yesterday, and we asked him about the improvement of his young folks, especially on the perimeter. And he said, well, if we can just keep throwing the ball to our guys, we might be okay. That's exactly what he meant, too, by the way. Hold on to the basketball. Take care of that bad boy. So, I think, listen, North Carolina's front court is going to be a problem for everybody that they go up against. I don't care who you put them up against. North Carolina's front court, their bigs are good. If the backcourt has consistency, they don't turn the ball over, and they can make some shots. Roy's already on record saying, hey, listen, if we're 10 of 15 from three, he'll give up his salary and everything else. And Bubba Cunningham's jumping through hoops, listened to his comment yesterday. But if they make shots, like a lot of teams, if they make shots and hold on to the basketball, they got a chance. And I think North Carolina's trending in the right direction.
All right, last team here is Syracuse, and the mission for Jim Boeheim is win a road game. They are 2-5 on the road this year.
It's
2 up, 5 down.
You know, given the offensive weapons of this team, you just got to figure at some point in time, they're going to just start catching fire on the road and make shots, right? Just seems that way. They got a number of guys that can put the basket in the ball in the basket. So, I don't know what to tell you on this one, Wes. You know, you can't play every game at the dome. You know how that works. And I know the tournament's going to be in Indianapolis. So, you know, if you're going to make a run, you're going to get in the dance, you're going to have to figure out a way to make shots away from the dome. Simple as that. It's not easy, but it's going to be as simple as that for Syracuse.
Pack the orange, and a little bit like Louisville, more pronounced, I think, because of Louisville's percentage, right? Those are the two teams that concern me about being tied to the post, if you will, so much on shooting threes.
Right.
I mean, their success is so incumbent upon that, isn't it?
I totally agree with that. And by the way, I was messing around with a stat yesterday for the radio show. And I hate to even bring this up because it's not a good one for the ACC, but I'm going to be transparent about this. I figured up how many Power 5 teams right now have zero quad one wins.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Would you like to take a stab? I mean, you were really good yesterday on Blind Resume. Would you like to take a stab without looking at your computer on that? How many Power 5 teams?
How many Power 5 teams?
Power 5 teams. ACC, SEC, Big 10, Big 12, Pac-12 have zero quad one wins. Just take a stab.
Eleven. Okay.
Five of the 11.
That wasn't bad.
No, it's not too bad. Five of the 11 are from the ACC.
Or, yeah.
But I'm going to get even more specific. This is why I was so excited about Louisville and Syracuse. Those are two of the five.
Okay.
Louisville and Syracuse have a zero in the quad one. So it is desperate time. I was just going to say, it's just desperate time to get those kind of W's coming down the stretch. And here's Louisville, you know, on the COVID issue. Here's Syracuse trying to find a game, right? So, I mean, that's why I was so excited about that game, because it was a critical one. And even like a team like Notre Dame, who does have a quad one win, that game against Clemson that they lost out on, the opportunity to play on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big missed opportunity. And do you get a chance to get those back? That's going to be the problem here in the next 3 weeks of teams that are desperate to get games of note where you can enhance your resume. That's the key.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
We have a busy, busy show. And Wes, that includes another debut of a student athlete on our program as we go to the frozen tundra of South Bend, Indiana.
Well, Nicola Jogo is from Hamilton, Ontario. So I'm going to guess that the, 11th or 12th day straight day of snow is that big a deal. So when you leave Ontario, Canada, you probably think, okay, I'm going to go to the States and play basketball and get a great education and go to Notre Dame and I'll get away from most of the winter. Little did you know that it was in your back pocket, right?
Yeah, it seems like wherever I go, the winter follows me. So, I don't know. Might have to go somewhere warm after this.
I think it's, I think you need to have part of this Canadian pride, just kind of walk around in short sleeves and look at everybody like, hey, what's the big deal? It's beautiful. It's springtime. Let's go.
Yeah, right. Just downplay it completely.
Yeah, just do the mental mind trick on them and go, hey, guess what? I don't know why you guys are... What are you shoveling for? We got another 17 inches coming tonight. You know, go and make a snowman. Let's go. I know this much. I know this much, Nicola. Your team's playing well. Speaking of heat, it seems like every February, Notre Dame gets hot. Can you put your finger on the reason why that seems to happen?
I think it just has to do with, our culture. We stay committed to the grind and the process, trusting it, and we don't get discouraged, whether or not we drop a couple games that we should have won. And on top of that, we just got a lot of guys who work hard day in and day out. And I think that pays dividends near the end of the season when, teams start kind of falling off or getting tired or, mentally being exhausted. We just kind of lock in and take a step forward.
You guys got an interesting team. I mean, you lost, obviously – Mooney was such a great player. Pfluger was such a great player for you guys. And yet this grind with Wirtz becoming eligible, and I know you've been through some injuries. It's heartbreaking to see what's happened to Carmody the last couple of years from that perspective. But to kind of pick this up, Cormack has a big game last Tuesday at Duke. Then Sunday night against Miami, Nicola, that game is just kind of teetering along. And you come off the bench, and all of a sudden, you're the energy guy on Sunday night. Do you get that same kind of sense, even it's going to be a different guy every night with this team?
Yeah, I think it just goes to say, how many weapons we have on our team. We got a lot of guys who can score the ball, a lot of guys who can produce and go off at any different game. I mean, at Georgia Tech, you had Nate Lachesky almost have 30 points. I mean, it's a loss, but it's just – there's a lot of guys on our team who can score the ball, and I think we're all confident in each other, and, you know, everyone just comes out ready to play, and you never know who's going to step up on a day-in, day-out night.
You know, given what you guys are all going through, all the student-athletes around the country, and you're up there in South Bend, you were laughing about the snow, and, hey, you know you're not going anywhere. You're staring for the same four walls all day. You got classes you got to deal with. Mentally, how do you stay sharp, Nicola? I mean, I know it's easy for us. I mean, we go upstairs, we're home, we're interacting. But student athletes, I mean, you're really on your own island every single day, the same day, over and over and over. So how do you stay mentally sharp?
Yeah, to be honest, the big thing for me is just keeping a big routine and, like, staying consistent with it. So I have, you know, my class schedule. A couple times a week, we have to wake up early for corona testing. We have practice. We have lift. When I come home, you know, I watch the same shows. I do the same things. I cook the same food on the same days. It sounds kind of boring, but to be honest, having that routine just kind of helps the days fly by. Like, there's no secret to it, but I just, you know, try and keep a consistent schedule, and, you know, it makes the time go.
All right, I'm going to put you to the test. It's Thursday, if you didn't know. It's Thursday, so what are we having to eat? Thursday is what day for food?
For lunch, we'll have some pasta. And then tonight, I'm making steak with asparagus and sweet potatoes.
Nice.
That's Thursday.
Wow. Yeah. Nice. Wait a second.
You take reservations?
Wait now.
That sounds like a good deal.
How many guys know you got that kind of skill in the kitchen now?
Man, every time I send them a picture of what I make, they're like, where's my invite?
And yeah, where's the assist, big man? Let's go ahead. Let's get this bad boy going. But that's it. But again, back to a mental standpoint, I mean, being able to stay refreshed, I think, is half the battle, isn't it? I mean, yeah, I mean, practice is one thing, games are one thing, but just staying alert, and I know that sounds like a crazy question, but like you said, every day kind of feels like the movie Groundhog Day, right? It's over and over the same routine, but you really have to work at making sure that you just don't get kind of down the dumps and in the doldrums, especially if you're not winning. If you're winning, makes things a little bit easier, but I got to figure that's got to be a challenge though every single day.
Yeah, Coach Barry's done a great job of, you know, keeping us alert and ready. And, you know, every time there's something wrong with our schedule or there's like a change of plans, he keeps on stressing. You know, he has a saying, we're stronger than the year. And he enforces that in us every day. And he just makes sure that he understands the kind of stuff we're going through. And he's there for us. And, you know, we're just together. We're in it together, basically.
All right. Now, let's go to Bray here for a moment. He's one of our favorite guests on this show, Nicola, because he's Mike Bray. He's just loose. It's carefree. I mean, in all honesty, the last two times he's appeared on this show, he's done a FaceTime from his car. Okay?
Sounds like him.
Okay. That's to my point. How does he keep you guys loose? I mean, I know he's intense. I know he wants to win. He clearly cares about the product and the investment that he has in guys like you. But how does he keep you loose?
He just has a great ability to switch to when, you know, he needs to be that competitive, you know, in your face coach. He can do that. But then times when, you know, a lot of coaches might not be able to flip that switch and turn to a loose, you know, not necessarily carefree, but just like a fun player coach. He's able to do that really well. And it kind of puts your mind at ease. You know, if we just had a game that we were supposed to win and everybody's down in the dumps and he comes in, you know, smiling, cracking some jokes, and, you know, he's the leader of our program, it just makes it a little easier as a player to mentally kind of relax and be like, okay, maybe it's not the end of the world that what happened yesterday was, you know, what happened.
Nicola, do you have the best beard in the ACC?
Oh, you know, God. I haven't grown out my beard throughout these years, but mine, it can get pretty, pretty intense. So I think I do, yeah.
All right. Well, that's like the confidence, number one. So what's the worst it ever got? I mean, did you go ZZ Top on me? What'd you do there? What's the worst it ever got?
Quarantine this past year from around March to, I'd say, July, I let it grow, and I look like an Orthodox priest. was not a good look for me.
That is fantastic.
Did Bray see that beard?
I don't know if I sent him a picture, but It was not popular among my family and the girls I was talking to. So
yeah, well, you know, hey, if the ladies don't like it, then you know it's all about adjustment, right? You gotta have that flexibility. That's all part of the gig. If the ladies don't like it, it's got to go. It's got to go.
Exactly.
All right. Beautiful.
Hey, one quick thing. Yesterday we talked to Balša Koprivica, who obviously came from Serbia, moved to Florida when he was young and has lived in the U.S. now for about a decade. And obviously you were born in Yugoslavia, grew up in Canada, then matriculated to South Bend. The influence of basketball, and I think you may have been young when you moved from Yugoslavia to Canada, because I know it was during the time of the Civil War, but what did basketball mean to you at a younger age, and how did basketball get you to South Bend? Because Balša talked yesterday about how it's basically become the national sport of Serbia, Nikola.
Yeah, I mean, Serbians are just super passionate about basketball, especially with a couple of these guys coming up in the NBA and, you know, becoming some of the top players like Nikola Jokic. And it just creates this, like, basically belief that, you know, Serbian kids can make it far in basketball. And from a young age, you know, my dad played. I just had a real big passion for sports and all kinds of sports, to be honest, but basketball specifically. And, you know, it carried me all the way here to Notre Dame. And, you know, the love hasn't died down one bit.
All right, Nikola, we ask this to every student athlete. During your time at Notre Dame, what has been the hardest class that you've had?
The hardest class? Oh, I had this like half.
See, I got a sense you're gonna be good.
I had this half credit class, and it's called quantitative decision modeling. And me and John Mooney were in that class together, and I'm gonna throw him under the bus, but both of us finished with a D.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm gonna tell you something. I will say this, and this is why I appreciate that answer. Now, this is our 324th television show. We've asked every student athlete on the program that question, and I don't believe anybody has ever answered it with the actual grade.
Oh, I'm sure they wouldn't want to do that.
do you remember the professor?
Seth Berry, awesome guy. Me and Mooney were just a lost cause.
Well, you know what? You got through it. You know what? So that class was worse than the beer, is what you're telling me.
What?
Might have been.
Close, right?
Wait, is quantitative decision making?
Modeling. Yep.
Is that in a business school? Because I know you're at Mendoza, right? So is that in business, or is that somewhere else?
Yeah, it's a required class for at least it used to be for my major, which is consulting.
Well, listen, stay warm, man. Can't wait for dinner tonight. Steak and asparagus. You know what? If you invite somebody else over, they can have my asparagus. I'll just take their steak and we'll call it even.
Sounds good.
Take care, Nikola. Great to have you with us. Good luck, okay?
Thank you. Appreciate for having me.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham. All right, it went so well yesterday with Roy Williams, getting on the show on game day. And, of course, last night rolled the ball out there, got him a W. We figured, you know what, we'll balance this out with the ladies because Georgia Tech's playing lights out basketball. And Nell Fortner can coach him up. So they've got a big one with the Florida State Seminoles. So let's just see if we go 2 for 2 with coaches on game day, because I know Nell, I mean, the last thing she needs to do is talk to us, given the fact she's got a huge game going on today. All right, Coach, how are we doing? Life treating you all right this bright and early?
Doing good. Could y'all just put a guarantee out there that the win's coming because of this show?
Well, hey, let me tell you, Roy Williams said that if he got a W last night, he'd join us every day on game day. So I'm not going to put any pressure on you. We're just glad to get you once on game day. So we'll just kind of see how this thing goes, because this will be a serious test for Florida State. They're playing well, but you got to love the confidence that your team has right now.
Yeah, this is going to be a really tough game. Florida State is such a talented team. There's no question. they can really hurt you bad from the three-point line. And deep range, they've got a player, Sammy Puisis, who can really pull it from deep. But they're talented, and they've got players coming off their bench that are contributing. But we're playing pretty well right now. I like what we're doing. I like the confidence that we're playing with. And so, again, it's just another night in the ACC, and you're just scrapping for a win.
Okay, Nell, you've done this for so many years, and you've done it at such a high level. I'm almost compelled to say, is this the way you envisioned this at Georgia Tech? I mean, you're the third best team in the league behind two teams in the nation's top five, really two teams that could each be a number one seed. Is this what you envisioned year two to be when Todd Stansberry talked to you about coming to Atlanta?
You know, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I didn't really have the vision for this particular thing for year two because I didn't know the team well enough when I took the job. But once we coached this team last year, I knew that it was just going to get better and better. This is a bunch of hardworking kids that have very high basketball IQs. And we added a few players from our recruiting class mm-hmm. that have come in and really been difference makers. And so, you know, we're just happy with what we're doing right now. We're not satisfied at all. We have, you know, these players have big goals, and we're just trying to continue to get better and better every day and compete hard.
Now, I know this has been a year which no one will ever forget. Coach, player, administrator, broadcaster, you fill in the blank, right? The last 11 months have been utterly insane. I know you had a great deal of fun when you were in the media because you never lose a game. You give opinions like us. We're a bunch of idiots on TV. We, you know, even if we're wrong, who cares? They're going to invite us back tomorrow. But aren't you having fun? I mean, seriously, I mean, forget the kids a second. Aren't you having a blast, even though you got the testing and you're never sure if a game's going to go on and the pressure of winning? But this has got to be the most fun ever, putting this thing together again.
Yeah, look, it's always fun. And it's one of the biggest reasons why I coach is the kids. I mean, they are just they're funny. They're they're learning all the time. They're sponges when it comes to information about basketball or anything else. They're just really fun to be around. But to be able to compete and get everybody on the same page to compete hard and want to win and want to achieve at the highest level, that's really fun to be a part of a group like that. And when you put together your staff and you start recruiting and you start really laying out where you want, where and what you want your program to be, then that really starts being fun. You know, we're not where we want to be right now at all, but I am definitely enjoying the process. It's been a crazy one this year, but I am enjoying it. Mm. And I think we are as a program, we're enjoying it as much as we can for sure.
All right, let's talk about kind of the levels of this program and how it relates to this particular team, because you've got Kiera Fletcher, you've got Loretta Kubai, who are seniors, you've got Lodome Lotnin, you got Loyal McQueen, you've got all sorts of levels about this program. How imperative is that going down this stretch to lean on Kubai and Fletcher, who've been there, Lotnin, who obviously has played at a high level, and a younger player like McQueen?
Yeah, there's no question that our team really goes as those three go, Kubai, Lotnin, and Fletcher. I mean, those are our leaders, those are our captains, and they are the ones who come to work every day at a very high level. So they've set great examples for our younger ones and for, you know, they've set great examples for what we want to accomplish this year and who we want to be as a team. So, you know, as we go along, we're just trying to put our best foot forward every day with their leadership. And they've shown a work ethic that's been impressive every day. We don't always come out and play great basketball, but we're going to come out and play hard and fight. And we're still learning. Like I said, we're a work in progress still, as is every team right now, and every coach would probably say. But those three make us go. But our additions of our freshmen and the growth of our other underclassmen has been imperative in our success, has been instrumental in our success. So hopefully we'll just keep traveling down that road of improvement.
Now, a lot of folks might be interested in what game day is like. I mean, you're here goofing around with us in the morning, which is normally not the case for coaches to be doing live interviews on game day. So that aside, when you say goodbye to us two idiots, what does the rest of the day line up for a 6 o'clock tip? Just so folks understand what a day is like for a coach and a team.
Well, you know, besides talking to y'all, which is very unusual, so, but we, the kids get up, we have a 6 o'clock game tonight, so they'll get up, they'll be up here, and this is our room where we eat, and they'll come in here and they'll have a really good stretch, and then we'll eat breakfast at 9:15. We'll leave at 10:15 and go to shoot around, and come back here, we'll eat pregame about 4 hours before the game. And they rest, and we'll watch a little more film, maybe do some individual or position play film breakout sessions, and then we'll go play a game at 6 o'clock. And the day goes pretty fast. Once you get up and going, the day pretty much moves pretty fast, and you're back in the gym practicing.
So this is actually the hardest part, right? What you're doing right now is...
definitely having to talk to y'all is definitely the hardest part because you got me up early. I'm not happy about it.
I was going to call you at 2 a.m. when I was walking the dogs. I was like, nah, I'll just wait to about 8:45 before I call Nell. I don't want to bother. It's game day. It's game day.
Well, look, if I was at home, I might be up at 2 a.m. walking my dog. So
there you go.
We could probably have a conversation.
All right, I'll call you tomorrow at 2 a.m. see how you're doing. All right. Well, that's what I'm going to do. That's just what you need to get a 2 a.m. call from me.
Hey, I want to get you back behind the desk, okay? I want to get you and Maria and Andy Landers at the table here one more time. How good is this league, and how much impact do you think this league can have once we get to Texas in the tournament?
Yeah, I think this league can have a really big impact because the thing that I guess I go to and start with is the coaching prowess in this league. I think we've got a lot of really, really good coaches. And you've got, when you start getting into postseason play, and we'll start seeing that with the ACC tournament and then beyond, then you start really digging down into the nitty-gritty of having to scout specifically your playing teams you have not played before. So I think we can make a significant impact on the NCAA tournament because of the experience with the coaches in this league.
Now, one more thing, and this might not be a fair question, but I'm going to ask it anyhow. I know you worry about you and you only, all right? But were you surprised when the selection committee came out with their list of teams? I was stunned that NC State was 6. Did that surprise you?
Yeah. Yes. That to me, that was the biggest surprise. And I thought that Andy Landers really, I thought he spoke really well about it. I mean, NC State, I felt like, should have been probably upset that what they did, beating two number one teams in the country on the road, that's unreal.
Yeah.
And then their only loss comes when, I mean, they're at that time, their loss to Virginia Tech was without Kunane. But, yes, they did lose another one to North Carolina. That's a highly that's a huge rivalry game on the road. But NC State is for real. So they're for real. I think they deserve a number one seat. I do. But I think Louisville does too. So that's just my opinion, though.
Well, there's a lot of good teams. And by the way, one other thing that everybody wants to know, how do you take your coffee?
Well, right here, I have been drinking it like black, like with just maybe some stevia in it. But this morning I put a little cream in it. I have no idea why, but I did.
Well, you know what? It's game day. I tell you what, we hope that streak continues because Roy Williams is in to co-host every time on game day. So pressure's on tonight, Coach. Just saying.
Hey,
all right. I hope I can rise.
I'm going to leave you.
There you go.
I'm gonna leave you with this. I don't know what the weather's like in Tallahassee. But in New Braunfels, Texas this morning, it's 26 degrees and feels like 14. And apparently there's a winter storm warning in your hometown.
Oh my. I you know, prayers out to all the people in Texas because that is, they're going on, you know, they're undergoing a tremendous strain. And that's a tough, that's tough.
No doubt. Good luck.
Tight. Good luck tonight. Thank you as always. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, y'all. Have a good one.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, Thursday show continues. Luke Hancock, like myself, now verified on Twitter, will join us coming up at the top of the hour. Well, that is very disappointing news. We'll have to address that, amongst other things. But it's time to go to Bristol, Connecticut, home of the smart people and BPI, and see what's going on as we do What Happens First, brought to you by Dish. Right?
Tuned in to you.
Love it. All right, here's a guy that can...
Ladies and gentlemen, Josh Macri.
Good morning. Always appreciate the sponsorship read there, Pac. It's your forte. Let's get right to it, though. What happens first? Louisville's Dana Evans does not score in double figures. Keep in mind, she's done it 37 times in a row. Or Florida State doesn't win a conference game at the Tucker Center. They've done that 24 times in a row.
Dana Evans doesn't score in double figures.
It's an impossible question. You know why? Because we're going to run out of the runway here. Florida State's got one more home game that we know of, which is BC. So we're talking about next year for BC. And Dana Evans,
right?
Who's going to stop her? So I think they're both going to continue to rock for the rest of this sports year. So Dana Evans' career is over. So I have an incomplete answer to that.
Well, the answer would be Florida State, because someday Florida State will lose at the Tuck. It might be in 2052, but Dana Evans will be long out of college by then.
Yeah, but maybe Dana Evans doesn't score in double figures in the WNBA.
Yeah, I mean, it's similar to BPI. It can never be wrong.
Oh, okay.
So there you go.
Thanks. By the way, I had real quickly, I know we're going to get to this. I had a tweet yesterday from a person that believes there's a conspiracy theory that you and Brooks are the friends of BPI.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you confirm or deny that?
Well, we'll deny it because we don't have any friends.
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah. So,
okay.
There you go. So take that.
Fair enough. All right.
All right, next question. What happens first? The two teams that were supposed to play each other last night, Syracuse and Louisville, neither of them have a quad one win this season. So, which happens first? Syracuse gets a quad one win or Louisville gets a quad one win?
Wes, you're the schedule guy. What
does it
look like?
Let's go to the schedule.
Yeah.
Let's go to the schedule. Quad one opportunities.
Georgia Tech, North Carolina.
Georgia Tech quad one yet?
No. Well, at Georgia Tech would be a quad one. Yes.
On the road,
would be yes.
On the road, that would be quad one, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. There's a lot
traveling
of opportunities for both.
From the Orange?
I'm going to say Louisville.
Yeah? Going to say Louisville, huh? Okay.
I'm going to say Louisville. Louisville can get a quad one win first.
All right. You say Louisville first. You looking at Virginia Tech? Is that quad one win?
Yeah, that way it would count, certainly. I just think they have more opportunities, and I like Malik Williams on this team. So I'm going to really
We're really hoping here.
I am being positive about the Cardinals. So I'm going to go Louisville is the answer.
Going to go Louisville, huh? All right, I'll go Louisville. I think if Malik Williams is back, man, we're out there hope diming a little bit on Malik Williams. But, yeah, we're counting on somebody we haven't seen play to come in and have the impact we're talking about.
Plus, we just talked about Syracuse's inability to win on the road. I saw opportunities on the road there, which that doesn't get me totally excited from Syracuse standpoint.
I understand. Wins for Syracuse this year are Raleigh and Boston College.
Right. Listen, I thought Pitt would beat NC State yesterday, so what do I know? I'm on BPI.
There you go.
Next one.
All right, Josh.
Couple more here, fellas. Both the NC State men's swimming and diving team and the Clemson football team have won 6 consecutive conference championships. What happens first?
That's right.
Someone dethrones the Wolfpack in the pool, or someone dethrones the Tigers on the gridiron?
Somebody dethrones Clemson on the gridiron. There you go.
Yeah, this swimming and diving thing at NC State
has been going on for a while.
Is real.
Yeah, it's been going on for a while.
Yeah, it is real.
Yeah, I mean, Clemson's not going to win the football championship every year, but I think NC State swimming and diving just might.
Yeah. So Coach Holloway does a phenomenal job with swimming and diving at NC State.
Yep.
NC just State unbelievable. Can have He's, nice we things. Had him on the old ACC Central, as I recall. We had him on the TV show yet, Pac, in your records.
I got to look it up. Off the top of my head, yeah. I don't believe so.
I don't believe so.
I don't believe so either. Yeah, we'll try and get him for TV at some point. He's done an incredible job in Raleigh, no doubt. All right.
Legend.
Last one, fellas. After last night, speaking of the Wolfpack, they continue to beat Pitt. They've done it 11 straight times. So what happens first? Pitt beats NC State in men's basketball. Hasn't happened since 2014. Or the Panthers go over 500 in the month of February.
Oh, boy.
They haven't done since 2015.
Boy. Oh.
Let's see. Well, Pitt's not going to
I'm
going to
say they beat State. They beat State. I'm going to say they beat State.
Well, they're going to see them again. Remember,
you know what schedule's going to look like.
We talked about they had two with State, two with Clemson, and Wake Forest. I remember how crazy that was yesterday. So they're getting another opportunity at the Wolfpack before this thing's over with. February's getting away from them. I think you're right. Listen, I still think Pitt's got a better team today than NC State without Devin Daniels.
True.
But it was proven yesterday that guess what? We keep score. Every time I get high on Pitt, they let me down. So I'm going to go Pitt beating State. I'll go again. I'll make another mistake probably. I'll go with Pitt.
I am too. That's what I'm choosing. All right. Top of the hour. Running right to the top of the hour. That is What Happens First, presented by
Dish. Tuned in to
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.